विदुरेण अनुजेन प्रज्ञाचक्षुर्बोधित आत्मजमीढ छित्त्वा स्वेषु स्नेहपाशान् दर्धिन्नो निश्चक्राम भर्तृसन्दर्शिताध्वा So this is the power of association of a sadhu. Because of Vidura's strong preaching, Dhritarashtra immediately left home. He became better mind. So that's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stresses the association of sadhu. Even a moment association of sadhu is will lead one to all perfection. Tulayama lavena binaswardam napunar bhavam bhagavat sanghi sanghasya martyanam kimutasisha. The greatest blessing that one can get in one's life is the association of a saintly person. Because of the association of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada says that now I have become a devotee, spreading Krishna consciousness movement. This is all because of the association of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The material world is a great illusion. Everything appears to be a tangible reality. But the next moment, it evaporates like a dashing foam of the sea or a cloud in the sky. You may see cloud in the sky at one point. But you keep gazing at it, but you will not see cloud after a few minutes. It will be moved somewhere else. Sometimes it could be slow moment, sometimes fast moment, whatever it may be. Cloud is moving. It cannot stay there. Right. But whatever experiences that we get in this material world are also like that. As good as that. We may think that we are happy now, but that happy phase will just pass away. We may think we are sorrow, we are very sad now. Some cause of anxiety is there in front of us. But that also will pass away. So, agama apayino anitya tam stitikshasva bharata. Don't get overexcited when there is happiness. And don't be so morose when there is distress. That's the message of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam also. So, it's all illusion. In a salt mine, wherever you go, you will find salt only. You will not get a sandesh, rasmalai falling off from salt mine. You cannot expect some sugar particles falling off here and there. Salt mine means it's filled with salt. Similarly, material world means it's a place of distress. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. You will not find anything permanent in this world. You will not find any true happiness in this world. Right? It's meant to give you misery. It's meant to give you some experience which is temporary. You can't expect permanence or eternity and true happiness in this world. Whatever happiness you may find in this world, that is also distress only. Right? Guna pravaha etasmin kashyapaha konvanugraha kasvarga naraka kova kim sukham dukham eva. All guna pravaha, the current of material modes. So what is happiness, what is distress, what is blessing, what is curse? All same. The dualities have no permanent effect. But Prabhupada writes here, sky and luminaries are absolute truth. They are permanent. But cloud, rain, greenery, they are temporary. Now, you see, sky is there permanently. Within this material world, it's a temporarily permanent reality. So just see, compact, relative permanent, relatively permanent. So sky is permanent there. All the luminaries, sun, moon, stars, they are permanently there, at least for one full day of Brahma. They are compared to absolute truth. But cloud appearing in the sky is not permanent. Sky is permanent, but cloud is not permanent. Rain is not permanent. It's there only during monsoon. but to intermittently. And the greenery that comes because of rain, that is also not permanent. So during July and August, you all were in Jeevi. You are studying your Isopanishad and Nectar of Instruction, all that. So at that time, Jeevi is very green. Is it not? There is a lot of greenery. But now it's not there. Now else it's there. Wherever landscaping is there, some water is there, it's there. But you see the Kohoz mountain. There's no landscaping there. It's all natural. You don't find so much greenery. During August, that is purely green. The whole mountain is almost green. Except for some big rocky patch. But now it's always brown. Almost brown. Hardly any green patches is here and there. Right? You see? Like that. It's all temporary. So one should associate with sadhus only, rejecting all other kinds of association. And by doing so, one will have ample opportunity to hear the sadhus who can cut to pieces the bonds of illusory affection in the material world. Okay, next. Dhritarashtra just left all of it and then he went. Now what happened? Gandhari also followed. Patim prayantam subalasya putri. पतिव्रता च अनुजगाम साध्वी हिमालयं न्यस्त दंड प्रहर्षितं प्रहर्षं मनस्विनां इव सत्संप्रहार
Accepted the
staff of the ground, or the
fighters who have accepted a good lashing from the enemy.
So Gandhari is the daughter of Subala, King Subala. He is the king of Kandahar or Gandhar, Gandhar Raj. Like that. So she also followed, because she is Pativrata, she also followed her husband. Dhritarashtra took Vanaprastha, not sannyas. So Mayavadi sannyasis are Ekadandi sannyasis. And they are dhiras and they are fond of Himalayas. But Vaishnava sannyasis are Tridandi sannyasis. They are Narottamas. They are not just dhiras. So what is dhira? One who can manage to stay away from home. He can be dhira. But what is Narottama? Staying away from home, he surrenders unto Krishna also. He renders service to Krishna. He is a Narottam. Yesterday we discussed these definitions. So they are found in Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, like that. So Dhritarashtra was advised to follow Dhira path because he is not yet ready for Narottam path. 31st verse. Ajatashatru kritamaitro hutagnir viprannatva tilago bhumi rukmaihi griham pravishto guru vandanayam nachapashyat pitarau saubalim cha.
Grains, cows, land, and gold to Brahmanas. He then entered the place palace to pay respects to the elderly. However, he could not find his uncle or aunt, the daughter of King Subhas.
So Yudhishthir, he is called Ajatashatru because his enemy is never born. Or whoever is born, he never considers anyone of them as his enemy. Now, people may envy him. He never considers anyone his enemy. Like that. So that's why he is Ajatashatru. So he discovers the departure of his two uncles and one aunt. Gandhari, Vidura and Dhritarashtra. So after performing morning duties, he could not find them. So Prabhupada writes here that a householder has certain duties to perform. He has to rise early, take bath, offer respects to the deities and does some little fire sacrifice. And he gives some charity to the brahmanas. and he comes and offers respects to the elderly people within the house. So these are all common duties of a householder. So modern householders and their children are improperly trained. They can't handle all this. He'll get up, bed ko bhi kare. That's what he will say. Modern householder. But a traditional householder is like this. Pious householder is like this. So one who is not prepared to practice injunctions prescribed in the Shastras cannot be a good man simply by bookish knowledge. Modern householders should take lessons from sadhus like Vidura and thus be cleansed of effects of modern life. Next, 32. Tatra sanyayam asinam papruchodvignamanasah gavalgane kvanastato vriddho hinascha netrayoh.
Maharaj Yudhishthir, full of anxiety, turned to Sanjaya, who was sitting there, and said, "Oh Sanjaya, where is our uncle, who is old and blind?"
So he asked Sanjaya if he might know. Ambachahata putrartha pritrivyaha kvagata suhrt abhimayakrita prajne hatabandhu sabharyaya ashra ashamshamana shamalam gangayam dukhito patat.
Where is my well-wisher uncle Vidura and mother Gandhari, who is very afflicted due to all his sons' demands? My uncle Dhritarashtra was also very mortified due to the death of all his sons and grandsons. Undoubtedly, I am very ungrateful. Did he therefore take my offense very seriously and along with his wife drown himself in the Ganges?
So, a Vaishnava's nature is to take the blame upon himself. My uncles and my aunt, they left. Am I the cause? He's thinking like that. Because I have killed their sons, they are hurt. Because of that, are they afflicted? I'm very ungrateful. Did he take my offenses seriously? Did he go and drown in Ganges, Dhritarashtra? So like that he is thinking. It is not true, but still out of his soft heart, he is thinking like that. Maybe I am the cause. Like that. So Chakravartipa says that why should I live, in the 33rd purport he says, why should I live when Yudhishthira did not leave even one of my sons? Yudhishthira is thinking that they might have thought like that. Let Yudhishthira have the sin of killing me too. Let me go and drown in Ganges. So Dhritarashtra had suffered his own misdeeds by the will of the Lord. But Yudhishthira was thinking that only because of his own unfavorable misdeeds, he is the cause of Dhritarashtra's sufferings. That's what he is thinking. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is considering himself responsible for the suffering of Dhritarashtra or Gandhari. But it's not the case. Right? A devotee never finds fault with others, but tries to find his own fault and thus rectify them as far as possible. 34th verse. Still, yeah, other people were also hearing. They specifically meant for him, but everybody was there when he was speaking.
In the last shloka, he mentioned 28th verse of 27, he said that he should leave this place without any...
Leave towards north.
Without informing anyone, incognito. So how come...
That's what... Like, initially it begins, the scene begins like that, in front of everyone. It's written somewhere, right? Written. Yeah. Translation didn't come. It's okay. Some details are not there in the translation. but in front of everyone. And this, although everybody is able to hear, these are especially meant for Dhritarashtra. So certain details are not given, like what was spoken at the end, is it still in front of everyone? Probably, depending on, we don't know exactly the scene. But in either case, Yudhishthira Maharaj was taking responsibility upon himself. Maybe because Vidura is strong chastisement, he left. He is not thinking like that. Even if it is so, even if he has happened to be in the meeting also, whatever it may be, but Yudhishthira Maharaj is owning that responsibility. That's the case here. Now, Sanjay is unable to respond. Pitaryaparate Pando Sarvanaha Suhrida Sishun Arakshatam Yasanataha Pitruvyau Kva Gatau Itaha.
When my father Pandu fell down and we were all small children, these two uncles gave us protection from all kinds of calamities. They were always our good well-wishers. Alas, where have we gone from here?
So he gave that kind of response. And Yudhishthira also was contemplating on the favors that these two uncles have given them. Actually, only Vidura gave. Dhritarashtra did not give much favor. But still, some favor was there. After all, he is the king. He is like father only for Pandavas. He is considered, from his side, he is seeing like that. Suta Uvacha Krupayasneha Vaiklavyat Suto Viraha Karshitaham Atmeshwaram Achakshano Napratyaha Tipiditaham.
So Goswami said, because of compassion and mental agitation, Sanjaya, not having seen his own master, Dhritarashtra, was aggrieved and could not properly reply to Maharaj Yudhishthira.
Sanjaya could not speak. He was too disturbed to speak. He was also feeling compassion and pity for the painful life of Dhritarashtra. Although he is not aware of his recent enthusiastic cheerfulness after getting enlightened by Vidura. So unless one is convinced of a better life after renunciation of present life, one cannot stick to renounced order of life. Simply by artificial dress or staying out of home. I think right, that's the difference between Dhira and Narottama. If one is frustrated with the material enjoyment and the world in family life, and if he takes to renunciation only out of frustration, he cannot survive in that renounced life for a long time. But in that, along with that frustration, if he also has some positive nourishment that he is experiencing in devotional service, in renounced order of life, he will stay for a long time. A happy man stays. If you are happy in renounced order of life, one can stay for a longer time in renounced order of life. If one is getting too restricted or suffocated, or he wants his own space, so, or if he wants some freedom, and so many rules and regulations are here, I have to align with certain protocols, there is a lot of austerity here. So in that case, one may have to change. Right? One cannot continue here. Like that. So here, satisfaction should be there. Unless one is convinced of a better life after renunciation. After renunciation, am I feeling better? That's the point. But as we discussed yesterday very elaborately, whether one stays at home or in renounced order of life, the focus should be on Krishna. If the distractions at home are too overwhelming that he cannot focus on Krishna, then he cannot advance. And if the austerity in renounced order of life is too overwhelming that he cannot focus on Krishna, then also he cannot continue in Krishna consciousness, right? With that same intensity. So one needs to understand, I need certain facility where I can practice Krishna consciousness better, this place or that place. One needs to see which suits him better. That's what Prabhupada writes in 8th canto, 3rd chapter. 8th canto, 3rd chapter, Gajendra's prayers. You remember? 2nd chapter. Gajendra was fighting within water with crocodile. And crocodile was able to control Gajendra and keep Gajendra back in water for 1,000 years. But Gajendra was unable to come out of the water. Why? Because crocodile was a water animal. So it's getting more strength and nourishment within water. And elephant is a land animal. So it's losing its strength. So if elephant starts fighting with something or someone outside water or with crocodile only, outside water, elephant will win. Crocodile may not win. Right? But because it is inside water, crocodile is winning and elephant is losing. Getting right? So we need to understand, Prabhupada writes there in that. Fight with Maya should continue. From where you will fight, you decide. Inside water or outside water. Both are fine. As long as the fight goes on. So there he says, if someone cannot do this in renounced order, then he can do staying at home. If one cannot do it while staying at home, then he can do in renounced order, whatever, wherever one is comfortable. 36th. So, now once the facility is set up, now for example, if I have to sit down and give class for 3 hours, right, that's what I have been doing all these years. But doctor suggested he should not sit cross-legged for some time, for a few months. So now if I still continue to sit cross-legged there and start speaking for 3 hours, I may not be able to continue speaking because of so much pain. So I am sitting on a chair. But katha should continue. Right? Bhagavatam discussion should continue. Either on chair or down. Which is comfortable for you, you decide. Idea is Krishna. Idea is to speak Krishna katha. Like that. 36. Vimrujyasruni panibhyam Vishtabhyatmanam atmanam Ajatashatram pratyuche प्रभोः पादावनुस्मरन् संजय ट्राइ टू रेस्पॉन्ड संजय उवाच नाहं वेद व्यवसितम् पित्रोर्वह कुलनन्दनम् गांधार्या वा महाबाहो मुषितोऽस्मि महात्मभिः He feels cheated. I have been cheated by them. Without telling me, they just left. He is thinking like that. So in this context, Prabhupada says, great souls cheat for a great cause. What is that great cause? For the satisfaction of the Lord. There are so many examples where great souls also cheated other people. Sanatana Goswami cheated a prison keeper, jail keeper. He wanted to escape. He said, Hari, you are so learned. You are so beautiful. You are this, you are that. Like that, he glorified. Actually, he is not so learned. Sanatana Goswami was speaking to the jail keeper, who is not so learned. He is saying that you are a scholarly, great mlecha, scholarly yavana, like that. So please, leave me. Take this 5,000 coins. 5,000 coins. He is not satisfied. King may do something to me. Okay, then take 7,000 coins. Oh, then he got attacked. First, he got flattered because of the words. Second, he got attracted to the money. Then he gave a plan. Sanatana Goswami gave a plan. He said, okay, just tell the king that I went to attend nature call on the bank of Ganges and I jumped into the river and I'm nowhere to be seen. I've drowned in the river. You just tell him like that. So he gave his master plan. He gave 7,000 coins and he helped him and then he just came out of the jail and met Lord Chaitanya. For a greater cause, escaping from government jail to meet Lord Chaitanya. And Raghunath Das Goswami also cheated his family members to become a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada is quoting himself. We cheated family members. Where is it?
we also have the same opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in service of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such cheating was necessary for a great cause. And there is no loss for any party in such transcendental fraud. Fraud. Divine fraud. And one more thing, one cannot artificially attribute greatness to one's selfish causes and say a great soul cheat for great cause. Are you a great soul first? And do you have a great cause first? That we need to question ourselves. We cannot, it's unavoidable. Sometimes it could be done. But one cannot whimsically just make this cheating as one's second nature. Once in a while, even great souls also do it once in a while. It's not their daily schedule. As that's long cheating kar rahe hain. To great cause, transcendental fraud karne as. Kam se kam 10 frauds karne hain. It's not necessary. Right? As far as possible, Vaishnavas are very plain, simple, have very straightforward dealings. And if it is unavoidable, if there is a very great purpose to be achieved, then some kind of cheating may be employed. Next, 38 verse.
अथाजगाम भगवान
नारद हसह तुम्बुरुः
प्रत्युत्थायाभिवादाह्य
सानुजोऽभ्यर्चयन् मुनिम्. So Narada Muni manifested there. So Narada Muni is there in every canto of Bhagavatam. Wherever there is a necessity, he will manifest there and enlighten people in devotional service. He was properly welcomed. He is described as Bhagavan because he is the most confidential devotee of the Lord. And he had no other business than singing the Lord's glories. He is always with his tumburu, vibrating, veena. So, preaching and treating the conditioned souls. Preaching as a preacher, treating as a doctor. So, he is respected as much as the Lord is respected. Let's see what he says. 39th verse.
Yudhishthira uvacha
naham vedagatim pitror
bhagavan
kva gatavitaham ambava hata putrartham Naham Veda Gatim Pitror. We don't understand the gati, the movement or the departure of our father. He is saying father only. Pitroha is a fatherly figure. That is here uncles. Dhritarashtra and Vidura are as good as father for Yudhishthira Maharaj. Bhagavan kva gatavitaha, where did they go, old Bhagavan? Ambava hata putrartha. And Amba, my mother, Gandhari, she is aunt. She is also missing now. She is bereft of sons, hata putrartha. Kva gatacha tapaswini, where did she, that ascetic lady go? She is like a tapaswini. Although she had full eyesight, she is able to see nicely. She voluntarily blindfolded herself. Just because her husband is blind. What amount of chastity is needed? My husband is unable to see the world. Why should I see? Done. Close the eyes. How long? 1 day, 2 days, 3 days? No, for the rest of life. Right? From marriage till the end of life, she gave up her urge to see anything. She did not see even her children. It's not a small austerity. No one can manage to do like that. Blindfold. Eyes are taken out, that's a different thing. Eyes are there. It just takes a moment to remove the patti and then see. Yeah. No, she did not try to do like that. She's as good as an ascetic. That's why, because she is such a great pativrata, her curse has that. Her curse, her blessing will have that power. So they're not ordinary ladies. An ascetic is never disturbed by all kinds of sufferings. And that makes him strong and determined on the path of spiritual progress. So, marvelous character of Gandhari as an ideal woman, as mother, as wife, as ascetic, is mentioned in various contexts. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was not thinking that he was doing a great favor in maintaining Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. He was only empathizing with them. Oh, what pain they must be undergoing. Many times we may feel sorry because we feel sorry. It's causing me pain. No, it might cause him pain, so that's why I'm feeling that pain. Like that. So he is very much conscious of their plight of losing their sons. They lost their sons. How are they feeling? So like that. 40th verse.
Karna dhara iva pare. Bhagavan paradarshakah. Atabhase Bhagavan. Narado Muni Sattamah.
You are like a captain of a ship in a great ocean and you can direct us to our destination. Thus addressed the godly personality, Devarshi Narada, greatest of all the philosophers, you philosopher devotees, began to speak.
So Narada Muni started speaking. Karnadhara Ivapare. Karnadhara means captain of ship. Mrudeha Madhyam Sulabham Sudurlabham. Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karnadharam. Karnadharam means captain of a ship that can very, very effectively and efficiently sail the ship across the ocean. Here Narada Muni is compared to that Karnadhara. Second, Bhagavan is a representative of the Lord. Third, Paradarshakaha means you can give directions. Paradarshakaha, para means to cross over. Darshaka means to give directions. He gives direction to cross over this material ocean. Four, Bhagavan is a godly personality. Next, fifth, Munisattamaha, best of all Munis, philosophers. So in five ways, Narada Muni is wonderfully described here. Munisattamaha, there are different types of philosophers. Not everybody is great, but Narada Muni is the greatest philosopher. Because his philosophy is devotional service. Not Jnana, Karma, Yoga, Sankhya, these are not his philosophy. 41st verse. Narada Uvacha. Maa kanchana sucho rajan yati shvaravasham jagat lokasapala ishyamayam vahanti balimishituhu sasamyunakti bhutani saeva viyunakti cha maa kanchana sucho rajan yati shvaravasham jagat. O Raja, Ma kanchana shucho, by all means you should not do lamentation. Don't lament. First instruction. Why? Yad Ishvara vasham jagat. This entire jagat, universe is controlled by Ishvara, Krishna. So you are not in control. You are thinking that you can control the movements of Gandhari or Dhritarashtra or Vidura or anything. Or anyone in your citizens, amongst your citizens. No. Yad Ishvara Vasham Jagat, not a blade of grass moves in the entire cosmic manifestation without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. That doesn't mean we sit here and do nothing. We will do our duty to the best of our intelligence. But how things move, how things will manifest is always there in Krishna's hands. We have no control over it. Yad Ishvara Vasham Jagat. So from this verse onwards, next 10 verses are very important, very deep. Right? They are quite philosophical. When storyline comes, we can move little easily. That's what we did in last few verses. But now, philosophical discussion is coming. Lokaha sapala yasyame vahanti balimishituhu. So, yad Ishvara vasham jagat means the entire universe is under the control of Ishvara. Second point is, all the planetary systems, lokaha sapala, along with their rulers, yasyame vahanti balimishutu. So all these people are therefore all living beings and their leaders can carry on worship to be well protected. To be able to be protected by the Supreme Lord, one has to worship him. Sa samyunakti bhutani sa eva viyunakti cha. Another important line. Samyunakti Bhutani means he will bring people together. Sa eva vyunakti cha, he only disperses them. In the sixth canto, he is compared to a child. A small child may be given some dolls, right? Some doll of dog, cat, cow, calf, some swan, giraffe, dinosaurs, whatever, lizard, swans, parrots, peacocks, like there are so many small, small dolls are given to him. Play. So he is playing. He may be given a bus or car, train, something like that, along with all these animals. He will take cow and put it on the truck while he is playing. And he will bring giraffe and deer together. And he may just disperse it. And then he will bring some cow and lion together. Right? And he will put them in some arrangement. And then he will disperse. I mean, it's totally at his will. He can do anything. He can play with any combination. Right? When a child is playing, it's like randomly bringing people together and then toys together and then dispersing them. Krishna also does similarly. He will also bring living entities together. Sa eva samyunakti. He will only bring two living entities together. Sa eva vyunakti cha. He will only disperse them. But when Krishna, although apparently he does things randomly, there's pakka process behind it. It seems exactly like a child's play, but there's a pattern behind Krishna's activities. So, what is that verse? Tenth canto, fifth chapter. You can search. Hogena vyuhamananam plavanam srutasoyutha. Naikatra priya samvasaha surdam chitra karmanam oghena vyuhamananam plavanam srutasoyutha. So this verse says, although two people love each other so much, this is the verse of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev meet at Mathura when Nanda Maharaj goes to pay taxes at Mathura. So in the discussion, there is a beautiful verse. He says, na ekatra priya samvasaha. Although we love each other, we cannot stay together. Vasudev and Nanda could not stay together. Although they love each other. They are like brothers. But still they can't stay. So, how? Suhurdam chitra karmanam. Every single person has a unique karma. Unique bag, fruitive baggage he is holding. So because of that, he will come in contact with few people for a certain amount of time in a certain body, through a certain activity, he will come together. After that, they are dispersed. Right? They cannot stay together anymore. So it's like one cannot stay together although they love each other. So you put two twigs at our Yamunotri here, beginning of Yamuna. Yamuna is there, right?
Yeah.
Just two twigs, two leaves you can put together when the Yamuna is flowing. Go to Kashi Ghat and see. Will they stay together? Probably not. And maybe they may stay together till you reach Kashi Ghat. Go to Brahmanda Ghat. Will they stay together? Not necessarily. Okay, fine. Go on our bridge and see the other side. They will be separated. Right. So it's not even 10 kilometers or 1,000 miles river. It's hardly few feet. But still, our coming together and dispersing is as good as two floating objects on the surface of a flowing river. Two objects are floating on a flowing river. On the surface of a flowing river, they may come together according to the current of the waves and they get separated according to the current of waves. We have no control over it. Same thing here. Same thing in our life. Now you all were studying in your LKG, UKG, first standard, second standard. You had so many friends, is it not? Where are they now? Do you know where are they? Do they know where are you? Do they know your current dress code? They don't know. So they can't stay together. Sa eva samyunakti, sa eva vyunakti cha. He brings people together, he separates them. Right? At the max, one full lifetime, two people can stay together. Right? At the max. But not possible. Generally not possible. So,
should we be attached to, like, this is material attachment, but like in devotee association, should we attached to a particular kind of association, like, because that also is like this only, like if some devotees go to some other project, then we don't meet them and we don't have any kind of connection with them. So like, is developing attachment in that way, is it bad? Like,
you can't say it is bad. When you are getting attached to a devotee or his devotional qualities, certainly it's not bad. Because relationships with devotees, Krishna Bhakta Viraha is intolerable. All that we see. At the same time, we need to submit to Krishna's will. He wants some devotees to serve at some place. He wants some other devotees to serve at some other place. There's a tree. On this side, there is one branch. On the other side, there is another branch. There is a leaf here and there is a leaf here. I give this example. These leaves, if they want to stay together, they may disconnect from the tree and come together. How long they will stay? They will not stay for a long time. 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. After that, they will become faded. They will become brown. They will become yellow first, they will become brown later, they will become powder later. But if they are connected to the tree, they remain fresh. So as long as we are connected with the tree of devotional service, tree of Krishna's seva, Krishna's ravanam, although we are geographically apart, in spirit we are together. We are fresh. But yes, feelings are there. When Srinivas Thakur says, Ramachandra Narottama Thakur, Ramachandra Sangamagi Narottama Dasa. I want Ramachandra Sangha only. He's not asking in general, I want devotees association. I want Ramachandra Sangamagi. And when Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they went, Jiva Goswami was in like so much of depression. Right. He was saying, Are this, what is this? Govardhan is looking like a ghasur for me. I'm unable to relish anything in the absence of this so and so devotee. So they are also there.
Right.
I mean, what exactly will happen, it's little subjective. In principle, we need to be attached to the service and the servants of Krishna whom Krishna keeps with us. We try to serve together. Definitely our source of inspiration must be geographically away from us, but through remembrance, he can be with us. That is also there. But we need to submit to Krishna's will of keeping devotees together or separated. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj was so attached to Bhishma. Bhishma departed. After Bhishma departed, Yudhishthira Maharaj lamented for a while, but understood it's Krishna's will. Now he wants me to serve in the material world. He wants Bhishma to go to the spiritual world. I am sure that he is happy. Bhishma must have attained a spiritual destination. He must have gone to the spiritual world in a spiritual body. And I have some service here, let me do this service. Ideally, he would love to be together with Bhishma. But Krishna causes the separation, we have to submit to it. So that thing is there. But nowadays, like, okay, you are together as one batch. Some people may go somewhere, some people may go somewhere else. You can be in contact with one another. Practically, whatever you need to do, you can do. You can be in touch on mails or phone calls. You can just inquire about each other. But certainly, physical proximity has a different flavor. Does it make sense? Do you want to say anything? You want to add anything?
Actually, I remember when I was going to Kampu, that time I was from Dwacara Sutri. I was being a great kind of separation from Pune. brother was telling me that service will make it more stronger connection. Particularly with Sadhisham. Like, how can I go? How can I leave? So Acharya gave his own example, saying that after I left for Kolkata, I am feeling more connected with Prabhu and Devotee. The association is becoming more fonder, more stronger. Service intensifies it more for me. So that gave me also confidence to get the service. And that you can see that the physical proximity not necessarily with the. And sometimes when we are together also, that time familiarity breeds contempt. And although we want to have a very good relationship, but the material works, material nature also works in a very unexpected way. It can create.
The separation also can act as a impetus for us to think about each other more. What do you want to say?
So this is a very elevated topic. We need to learn this in a situation. We need to cultivate that feeling. Especially for devotees, we do not have experience of Krishna, but whatever wonderful experience we have in devotees, we know that there is that, that I am not doing that. And then you cultivate that feeling, that's it. Appreciation, that feeling of devotees. When there is love, you think that there is more love than me, there is no separation. So, first thing you have to cultivate spiritual actually relationships. Spiritual relationship is the only Krishna certain about Sarah, and our goal is to advance Krishna consciousness. The only association of devotees. And we can cultivate material relationships. Time separation works for this.
Take one to another life. This is another some more time in the material world. This is part of life. So many Vidyapeeth batches are coming. I give so much time and energy in 2 years. After that batch changes. No, next batch comes. There you go. Next batch comes. They'll, I've been seeing so many batches till now. Not much. When the first batch was passing out, I was feeling so bad. I remember that. They went to Chowpatty. I'm here. 20 boys were there. So I had not a good relationship. At that time, only one batch was there. Now many batches are there. So first year is only one batch. Second year, it became two batches. So it just happens. Krishna service wherever it takes us. Okay. Welcome. Sa samyunakti bhutani sa eva vyunakti cha. He brings them together and he disperses them. Okay. 42. We have discussed this separation between devotees and Lord and amongst devotees elaborately in 1st canto, 10th and 11th chapters. Remember? 1st canto, 10th chapter. Love, separation. यथा गावो निशि प्रातो प्रोतः तंत्याम बद्धाश्च दामभिः वात्तंत्याम नामभिर्बद्धाम वहन्ति बलिमीषितुः. So in the previous verse, we didn't discuss few points in the previous purport. So Narada Muni is telling Yudhishthira Maharaj in the naked truth of life that people come together and get dispersed. It's all because of the Lord's will. So Ma kanchana shucho, ma shuchaha, he is saying basically. Don't lament. Ma shuchaha. Ma kanchana shucho, at any time you should not lament for that. So Yudhishthira Maharaj may say, you say I should not lament, I am fainting in separation from these two persons. This cannot be prevented because meeting and separation are dependent on the Lord. As Prabhupada nicely said, something which is in our control we can do. Something which is beyond our control, we can't do anything. Right? Bringing people together, keeping them together or separating them is not in our control. We can't be with people whom we love to be with. Because Chitra Karmanam, every single person is guided by a unique fruitive baggage. Right? Chitra Karmanam. Prabhupada writes that the constitutional position of a living entity is subordination under Lord's control. Those who rebel against this law are put under still more rigorous laws of material world by different miseries. So ordinarily everyone has to accept the course of one's happiness or distress as they come under the subtle arrangement of Kala, invincible time. There is no use trying to counteract them. Okay. So, 42nd verse, he says, just like a cow is bound through nose by a long rope, one is bound by the Lord's orders and injunctions and the laws that the Lord has made, Krishna has made. So, cow is bound by rope across its nose, cow or bull. We don't do that in GEV, but generally it's done in traditional ways. So, first, one cow is tied with a rope to its nose. Second, many cows are tied with one longer rope. So, similarly, everybody is supposed to be controlled by Vedas and everybody is controlled by a unique set of Vedic principles. So there are different designations. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. They are all short ropes. Right? So, like that. So when somebody is bound, say for example, a cow is bound with a rope. You tie that rope to this mango tree. If the rope is 10 meters, within the 10 meters radius, 10 meters, 20 meters diameter circle, 10 meters radius circle you draw. within that circle, cow can sit, cow can stand, cow can jump, cow can sleep, cow can sit in shadow, cow can sit in sun. Whatever she wants, she does. Within that 10 meter radius circle, not beyond that. Similarly, every living entity is given certain amount of independence. So within that circle of independence, which is drawn specifically around you, you can operate. You can't go beyond it. You are given 2 legs to walk, 2 hands to function. With your legs you can walk. But because you are not given wings, you cannot fly like a bird in the sky. Right? So it's not within our scope. If you want to fly, board a flight. Through some mechanical arrangement, you are asked, you are allowed to fly. That you cannot see the sky while you are flying. You are closed. They will give you a short window. Like that. So we don't have unlimited independence. But when we are servants of Krishna, and when we realize ourselves, we are agreeing to dedicate our entire existence, body, mind and words to the service of Krishna, then we will get unlimited independence. Narada Muni can go to the spiritual world, any planet, and material world, any planet. He is given so much independence. Right? Different jivas are given different magnitudes of independence. No living entity is free from the severe laws of Lord. So there are laws of state and laws of Lord, laws of God. You can escape from laws of state, but you cannot escape from laws of God. One may be punished in this world, although he is innocent, by the state law. He did not steal. Somebody will accuse him, you are the thief. And then he is hanged, for example. That's fine. That's not fine. But ultimately, he may be receiving some injustice, but in Krishna's court, injustice cannot happen. Right? One may be unnecessarily punished in the man's court, one may be unnecessarily rewarded in the man's court, but that does not mean he will get the same results in Krishna's court. Obeying the laws of God is the only way to get rid of material entanglement. If leaders are educated in laws of God, there is no necessity of a makeshift legislative council of aimless men. Prabhupada is very straightforward. 43. Yatha agreed upaskaranam samyoga vigamavapi vigamaviha ichchaya kriditu syatam tathai vishechchaya nrinam. This is same as the example that I gave, child bringing toys together and separating them. So, if the Lord is able to change the reactions of one's past deeds, then certainly he is not himself bound by any reaction or action of his own deeds. He is perfect and transcendental to all us. So, he can bring people together, he can disperse them. He has the ability, kartum, akartum, anyathaya kartum, morning we were discussing. He can press Ctrl S, Ctrl Z, Ctrl Y, anything he can press. He can press. 44. Yanmanyase dhruvam lokam adhruvam va nacho bhayam sarvatha nahi shochyaste snehadanyatra mohajat.
Or everything to be an inexplicable combination of matter and spirit, feelings of separation are due to only to illusionary affection and nothing more.
So, in the 44th verse, it is said that whether you believe in the existence of soul or not, whether it is a soul is there or soul is not there, you have no reason to lament. Means whether you are a worshipper of monism philosophy or dualism philosophy, you have no reason to lament. This pure logic is given here. whatever may be your philosophy, whether you consider yourself as a soul or body or neither or both, you have no reason to lament. So the supreme intervention is uncheckable, and thus there is never a cause of lamentation. Feelings of suppression are only due to illusory affection on a material plane and nothing more. On a spiritual plane, they are very nourishing feelings. That's called vipralambharasa. But on a material plane, they don't have so much meaning. So Chakravartipad says, affection which is generated from illusion in material world is the source of lamentation and is the root of ignorance. Right? So affection which is generated from illusion of the material world. What is the illusion? For example, a husband may think that this is my wife. A man may think that he is my son or she is my daughter. So when there is separation, they start lamenting. But very like basis of that feeling is you are imagining some other soul to be daughter or wife or son or brother or father or grandmother or whatever it may be. You have imagined an illusory relationship between you both. What is the reality? That soul is a servant of Krishna. You are also a servant of Krishna. We both belong to Vasudhaika Kutumbam. We are part and parcels of Krishna. We are supposed to render service to Krishna. That's our eternal constitutional position. On that basis, let us connect with each other. If that is not the basis of our connection with each other, then that's illusory relationship. That feelings of separation are meaningless. What does Kunti say? Atha Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshume Sneha Pashamimam Chindi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnishu. Sneha Pashamimam Chindi means please cut the knots of affection with Vrishnis and Pandus. I am feeling so much of connection and familial connection with Pandavas, my sons, and Vrishnis, my parental family. I don't want this connection. Please cut this. She says. First he says, please stay here, my dear Krishna. If you go away, my sons will suffer. And later she thought, oh, if he goes away, my sons will suffer. If he stays here, my parental family will suffer. What about Vrishnis? I should think about them also. And later she thought, why am I caught up in these dualities of this family, that family? Because I have connection with both families. Please cut this family connection, my dear Lord. So just Vayime ananya vishaya matir madhupate sakritsne ratim udvahata daddha gange ogham udanvati. May my mind flow like Ganges to your lotus feet. Just like Ganges flows towards the ocean unobstructed by any impediments, may my mind also flow towards your lotus feet, my dear Krishna. She says that. Now, the point is, she said, cut my relationships with Vrishnis and Pandus, cut that aspect of relationship which is on a material plane. Please maintain my connection with Vrishnis and Pandavas because they are Vaishnavas. I should maintain a relationship with them, considering them as Vaishnavas, as devotees of Krishna, not because they are my sons or daughters or parents. So, this is the main motto of a devotee when he comes in contact with other people in this world. So their intention is, we want to connect with other people on the basis of Krishna. Krishna in the center. Krishna should be the center of our relationship. Right? Not other way. Affection related to bhakti is not included here as a source of lamentation. Lamentation arising from bhakti, the sthayi bhava of karuna rasa, is most excellent. Just like Ram's affection for Sita, Sita's affection for Ram, you cannot put it in the category of a materialistic person getting attached to another materialistic person on a material plane. 45th verse.
Tasmajahyanga vaiklavyam अज्ञानकृतमात्मनः कथं तु अनाथाः कृपणाम् वर्ते तामस्ते च माम विना
ignorance of the self. Anxiety could be caused because of ignorance of self. For example, you think that someone is afflicted with cancer. So one of your friends, you think that somebody told you that he has cancer again. Oh, cancer again. Then you're in tension because he is your like close friend. Because he got cancer, he got some disease. You are thinking that, hey, what will happen to him? He will die. What will happen to his family? What will happen to his wife? What will happen to his children? For 3 days till you met him, you are so much in tension, right? Some people who may want to cheat him. Oh, mar jayega. Then his property I can take. Some people may scheme like that. So like that, some envious people or some friendly people, they are all thinking about this new news of a person getting cancer in different ways from their own perspectives. But after 3 days, if someone declares that this news is only a hoax, he did not get cancer, he is totally healthy. Okay. Whatever understanding that you went through in the last 3 days, whatever perspectives that you maintained in the last 3 days, what were they? They're all illusion based on something which is not reality. Is it not? That's what he's saying. Our ignorance gives all anxiety. Out of ignorance, one may imagine that he got cancer, and the very what is that called? The news that someone got cancer, which is not false, is inducing so much of feelings in you. All the feelings will become bogus because the news itself is bogus. Right? So our anxiety or our excitement. Somebody told you that you got a lottery ticket, 1 crore. Asutosh Prabhu, you got 1 crore rupees. So reward. They. Mobile, they send SMS, right? Some really stupid SMS. Come and collect your 10 million rupees at so and so place. Huh? Yeah, whatever, so many dollars, $500 or $10,000, you come and collect. Congratulations also they will write. You just send your PAN card number and name, mobile data. I don't know who causelessly sends all those SMS. If someone gets excited, he sends his address. He's waiting for SMS and he'll get another SMS. Come and meet me at Bandra, so and so place, Vagara. So he's so excited, so and so date. Okay? So March 31st you go. From March 22nd to March 31st, he's waiting for these 10 days. Okay, I will get 10 crores. He will go there. There's nothing there. Right? He'll end up wasting one day and 10 days of contemplation. What is that happiness? It's illusion. Right? Happiness or distress based on a fake news is only illusion. And most conditioned souls in the entire cosmic manifestation are living lives based on this. Now this is more grossly understood. Okay, you do not deserve to get that 1 crore rupees lottery, but still your illusion to believe that you got that 1 crore rupees. Same thing is happening there. People think that he is my son or she is my daughter, he is my husband or he is my father, he is my mother. And based on that false relationship, whole life is spent. Right? Yeah, the relationship is not 100% false. It is reality, but it is a temporary reality. There is a reality beyond this also. Definitely one has to be sensitive to one's relationships. Brother, sister, father, mother, whatever sensitivity you need to exhibit in that, you need to do it. Do the needful. But understand there is an eternal relationship with Krishna also. Right? This is not permanent, this relationship. To think that one's kith and kin as being dependent on oneself is also due to ignorance. So Narada Muni says that you are thinking that how will they maintain without you. In that mood he speaks the next verse also. So one should discharge his duties only, for no one but Supreme Lord can give protection to anyone else. Do you think you are the protector or you are the maintainer of all these people, Kithankin? No. It's Krishna who is maintaining everyone. How can you maintain? That is the first question. That is 48th verse. But who is maintaining? That is 47th verse. 46th verse he says, Kala karma guna dhino
deho
yam pancha bhautikah
katham
anyamstu gopayet sarpagrasto yatha param. Kala karma guna dhino. Someone who is adhina, who is controlled by kala, time factor, karma, fruitive baggage, guna, three modes. If you yourself are controlled by kala, karma and guna, dehoyam pancha bhautikaha, you yourself are entrapped in this body which is made of pancha bhautika, pancha five elements, material elements. Katham anyamstu gopayat, what protection you will give to others? A very graphic example is given. Sarpagrastho yataparam. Sarpagrastha means you are caught up in the jaws of a python. A python is swallowing you. The python of kala, karma, guna, dehoyam pancha bhautika is swallowing you, is sucking you inside, deep within. Python. Then how can you offer help? Come, I'll help you. How can you extend a helping hand to other people? So there is one cartoon that came based on Bhagavad Gita sloka. Somebody is drowning in water. First scene. Somebody is drowning in water. And from a distance, another person is seeing. Oh, I will help you, I will save you. Like that he is offering a helping hand. The next scene is that person came much closer. Third scene is they embraced each other. And they were happy. They were with smiling faces. Fourth scene is the whole water is inside a bowl that is boiling above a stove. Whole water. So for water scenes are seen. That water is a part of a bowl. A big vessel. And then kadai. And that vessel is above fire. On a stove. So till the heat, the boiling heat reaches these people, they may embrace each other and then they smile. When it reaches, they will also boil. Material existence is like that. Right? You are also there only. You are also there and you are trying to save someone else who is also there. That is Antha Yathandai Rupaniya Mana Tepisha Tantram Urudamni Baddha. That is, how can a blind man lead another blind man? Both of them will fall into well, dark well. So material world is like that. Right. So Kala Karma Gunadhino Jintoyam Pancha Bhautikaha. Very important verse. You are Adhina. You are under the control of Kala Karma Guna. 45th verse says, Ajnana Kritam Vaiklavyam. This Vaiklavyam, material disparity, is because of Ajnana, ignorance only. Vartyatamscha Mahavina, Mamvina, Vartyatamscha Mahate Vamvina. Without me, how can they survive? The father will think, without me, the child will die. If I don't go and drop him at school, what will happen to him? He'll think like that. So, yeah, when someone becomes a father, that is his responsibility. Definitely. I'm not denying that fact, and nobody denies that fact. He has to do his duties properly. But one should not unnecessarily attribute so much of controllership over himself and think that I am the protector, I am the maintainer, I am everything to this dependent. That's what Bharat Maharaj did. Do your duty, do your prescribed duty. If you are a father, take care of your children nicely. If you are a mother, take care of your children nicely. If you are a son, serve your parents nicely. So these duties one has to perform. But not ignoring the eternal facts. Right. One should discharge his duties only, for no one else but Supreme Lord can give protection. Even when you are protecting someone, you should understand that the Supreme Lord is protecting them through me. I am an instrument in Krishna's hands through which Krishna is protecting these people. Krishna made me the head of this family and I am taking care of the needs of this family. It is Krishna who is taking care and I am acting as a representative. That's what a king thinks. Rajarshis, great kings, they never think that we are the protectors of our citizens. We are instruments in Krishna's hands. As his representatives, we take care of the citizens. Same thing with family also. Same thing with any community. A leader thinks like that. He's supposed to think like that. So, the world's movements for freedom through political, economic, social and cultural propaganda cannot benefit anyone, for they are controlled by superior power. The highest perfectional project of philanthropic activities is to engage everyone in the act of preaching bhakti yoga all over the world, because that alone can save people from control of maya represented by kala, karma and guna. That's the real protection that one can offer. Protection of bhakti yoga. Now, whatever Dhritarashtra's maintenance, you are saying that I am not their maintainer. But how will he maintain himself? He went out of the palace. He is blind also. He went inside forest. How will he procure his food? How will he live? Then next question. Next verse. Ahastani sahastanam. Apadani chatushpadam. Falgoni tatra mahatam. Jivo jivasya jivanam. Ahastani sahastanam. So those living entities that do not have hands become the food of those who have hands. Apadani chatushpadam. Those who do not have legs, they become the food for those who have four legs. Falguni tatra mahatam. Jivo jivasya jivanam. A weaker living entity could become food for a stronger living entity. Right? So that is jivo jivasya jivanam. One jiva will depend on another jiva for its maintenance. That's how the whole world is designed. We, human beings, are dependent on plants, vegetables, fruits and roots for our maintenance. Right? We pluck a fruit, we pluck a vegetable, we pluck some rice and then cook it and eat it. Without those jivas, those plants, we cannot survive. Similarly, a tiger's food is a deer. A cat's food could be a rat. So like that, different living entities are meant to subsist on other living entities. That's how this world is designed. So you cannot become the source of sustenance for someone else. So this does not allow unrestricted animal killing. A systematic law of subsistence of exploiting the weaker by the stronger is existing. Struggle for existence is there by supreme will. And there is no escape for anyone by any amount of planning and artificial means. A weaker plant cannot move. Human beings can move. So human beings will go and pluck the plant and eat. Right. So this does not mean one should kill animals. Human beings can kill animals. Because human beings are supposed to be regulated by scriptures for a higher cause of self-realization. Although there is nothing to be lamented if a tiger eats a weaker being, even a man, because that is one of the miseries, threefold miseries. The world is made with threefold miseries. One of the miseries is adi bhautika klesha. What does it mean? Misery is caused by other living entities. A deer will get misery because of a tiger or a lion. That's nature. Because you are living in this material world, you have to experience threefold miseries. And one of that is, you have to experience misery through some other living entity. Let them be human beings, let them be rats. You are sitting in this room. Say some rats come inside. They are not allowing you to sleep. Mosquitoes are there. They are not allowing you to sleep. They are singing so many songs in your ears. Right? I mean, you have to experience that misery. You want to avoid, put a mosquito net. That's all you can do. Put fan. Put water, what is that called? Dhoop. They may go away. But still they may come in also. You make your arrangements. Instead of making all arrangements also, they can come in. If they don't come in, something else will come in. You put a sweet there. After some time, ants will come. Ants will trouble you. Mosquitoes will trouble you. Rats will trouble you. Because you are also troubling them. While walking, you may stamp on some ants. If you see it, you should not do it. But if you may not see it every time. You may just stamp on some insects. You may not even see that there is an insect passing also. That doesn't mean you stop walking. So, world is designed in such a way that one living entity subsists on another living entity and one living entity troubles other living entities. Causes problem to other living entities. So, that is bound to happen. So, don't worry about Dhritarashtra's maintenance. He will take local vegetables as prasad. Whatever is available in the forest. May not be market, but forest. So, Prabhupada writes, Kingdom of God or Ramaraja is impossible without awakening God consciousness in the mass of people of the world. Now, if everything is dependent on the Lord, why do you say that body is dependent on time, karma, matter, etc.? Kala, karma, guna, dhino, dehoyam, pancha, bhautika. Why do you say that if everything is orchestrated by the Lord only? So then, he says, 48th verse, Tadiyam Bhagavan Rajan ఏక ఆత్మాత్మనం స్వదృక్ అంతరోనంతరో భాతి పశ్యతాం మాయయో వృధా. డోంట్ గెట్ డిస్ట్రాక్టెడ్, ఫోకస్ ఆన్ ద లార్డ్. Everything is the Lord because everything in this world, including time and karma, are effect of Lord's energies. You may say time is the cause, prakriti is the cause and all this. But they are all representatives of the Lord. They are energies of the Lord. That means ultimately the cause is attributed to the Lord. Sometimes you may emphasize the ultimate cause. Sometimes you may emphasize the immediate cause. Right? So Narada Muni convinces Yudhishthira Maharaj to see life in perspective of true knowledge and not be bewildered by the illusory anxieties of the material world. Don't be overwhelmed that somebody got separated from you. One only perceives dualities due to Lord's external potency. Otherwise, living entity is quantitatively one with the all-blissful Supreme Lord. Non-dual Lord manifests by many energies and especially as localized Paramatma from within. And as Guru, Sadhu, Shastra from outside. Right? So, Lord has His representatives on a spiritual plane also, on a material plane also. We are just interacting with Krishna 24/7. In any living, in any species, in any planet, in any world, anywhere, we are just interacting with Krishna and His energies. If we are getting illusioned, we are just interacting or we are getting influenced by Krishna's external energy. Time, prakriti, three modes, three miseries, other conditioned living entities. They are all interacting with us and they are giving us suffering. And if we are getting enlivened by reading scriptures, then we are coming in contact with other representatives of Krishna, the acharyas, the spiritual energy, the Bhakti Devi, Srimati Radharani, right? Yoga Maya. So like that we are just being nourished or entangled by Krishna's energies only. We cannot escape Krishna. You may say, I will escape Krishna. No, we are in touch with Krishna 24/7, whether you agree it or not. You may be doing it in a positive way or negative way, but you are in touch with Krishna. Right? You may not realize it. The very fact that we are in this material body, what is this material body? Where did this come from? It is all Krishna's energy. It's a transformation of earth. Body, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. All these are coming from Krishna. Right? Aham, what is that? Aham sarvasya praho matva sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante ma buddha bhava samanmitaha. Everything is emanating from me.
అండ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ భూమిరాపో అనలో వాయు ఖమ్మనో బుద్ధిరేవచ అహంకార ఇతియం మే భిన్నా ప్రకృతి రష్టద దీస్ ఆర్ మై సపరేటెడ్ ఎనర్జీస్ ఆల్ దిస్ ఎర్త్ వాటర్ ఫైర్ ఎయిర్ వి జస్ట్ టుక్ లిటిల్ ఎర్త్ లిటిల్ వాటర్ లిటిల్ ఫైర్ మేడ్ దిస్ బాడీ అండ్ వీఆర్ స్టేయింగ్ ఇన్ సైడ్ బాడీ వీ డిన్ మేక్ అవర్ డిజైర్స్ మేడ్ దిస్ బాడీ కృష్ణ ఇస్ అరేంజింగ్ జస్ట్ లైక్ యూ గో టు హోటల్ యూ ఆర్డర్ ఐ వాంట్ ఇడ్లీ ఐ వాంట్ సాంబార్ యూ డోంట్ మేక్ ఎనీథింగ్ సర్వర్ విల్ గివ్ యూ సిమిలర్లీ a living entity desires I want to eat meat okay fine nature will give you material a body a tiger body or a fox body or a lion body to which you can eat meat simple so it's all living entity desires on a material plane or on a spiritual plane and lots of energies will allow will facilitate those desires So focus on the Supreme Lord only. One should not be disturbed by so-called manifestations of happiness or distress, but he should try to cooperate with the Lord in his outward activities for correcting the fallen souls. Therefore, focus only on the Lord's mission. What is Lord's mission? He will tell later. Yes, Mukti Keshav, we have some question.
What is the literal meaning? Like, of course, it appears like meat eating.
Meat-eating means like, Nagpur is telling, correct, true. Because one jiva is sustaining on another jiva. I gave so many examples. Na? A tiger is sustaining on what? On
deer.
Deer or some other animal. It could be a human being also. Mm. It needs flesh.
Yeah, some people eat fish.
Right.
So why? It should be specifically mentioned that
he's not speaking about Brahmanas or Vaishnavas. He's not speaking about non-vegetarians or anything like that. He is speaking of a general law. General law that is functional in this material world. So, a weaker living entity is exploited by a stronger living entity for its sustenance. Details you match. Right? See, justify a person who wants to justify, you will justify by quoting anything. Here the point is
universal law,
which is jiva, jivasya, jivanam. That is universal law. One jiva is the source of sustenance for another jiva. Generally, weaker jiva is the source of sustenance for stronger jiva. Because stronger jiva has more intelligence and strength to exploit a weaker jiva. It's nature. You see, you can exploit a chicken also, a goat also, a plant also. Why don't you exploit plant? People who are in mode of goodness, they will exploit plant. Not exploit, they will depend on plant. And some other people will depend on goat. They may quote anywhere, but it's there is free will is there. No? Which stronger living entity wants to exploit which weaker living entity, there is a free will. But the principle is jiva jivasya jivano. One jiva is the source of sustenance for another jiva. Right. So, any insights or any elaboration? You want to share? Okay, 49th verse. You understand his mission. What's the time now?
Service.
I think we'll take after a break. 11:43. Raja. భగవాన్ భూత భావనః కాలరూపోవతీర్ణోస్యం అభావాయ సురద్విషం
So focus on Krishna. Oh, did I say 46th verse? 48th verse is done, right? 48. Then focus on the Supreme Lord only. So focusing on the Supreme Lord means what exactly? It's basically focus on the Lord's mission. One should look unto the Lord. One should not be disturbed by so-called manifestations of happiness and distress, but he should try to concentrate with the Lord in his outward activities for correcting the fallen souls. So, mission. Understand the Lord's mission. That's what he says. Prabhupada writes, there are two classes of human beings. Asuras and Suras are envious people and obedient people. Here, the predominance of Asuras in the world is occasionally rectified by the Lord when he eliminates them from the world and establishes a rule of Devatas like the Pandavas. He is not at all dangerous, but he is the transcendental form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. For the devotees, his actual form is disclosed, and for non-devotees, he appears like Kala Rupa or Death. Kalosmi Loka Kshiyat Krit Pravriddho. This casual form, causal form of the Lord is not at all pleasing to the Asuras, and therefore they think of the Lord as formless in order to feel secure that they will not be vanquished. Time factor. Yeah, it's impersonal representation. Okay. So you should patiently follow the plan of the Lord. 50th verse. Nishpaditam deva krityam.
Nishpaditam deva krityam.
Avasesham pratikshate.
Avasesham pratikshate.
Tavadyuyam avekshadvam.
Tavadyuyam avekshadvam.
Bhavedyavat. Nishpaditam deva krityam. The Lord has already performed his activities. Nishpaditam means he has done, accomplished. Deva krityam. What is deva krityam? The work of the demigods. Demigods requested Krishna, please come and kill these demoniac people and reduce the burden of earth. So, to fulfill that request of demigods, the Lord is sent. And he has accomplished that task. Avasesham pratikshate. And he is waiting for the rest of the duties to be completed. Right? Tavad yuyam avekshadham bhaved yavad iheshwaraha. You Pandavas may wait as long as the Lord is here on the earth. So he has descended, he has accomplished the task of reducing the burden of earth. You can also be around till he closes his pastimes after doing a few more other things. That's what, in a very indirect manner, he just gave a hint. He was not very bold or emphatic, or he's not revealing the news to him. Okay. Chakravarti says, like Vidura, Narada did not describe the arrangement of destruction of Yadu family, which he knew had already taken place. The conditioned souls contact material association by their own choice, dictated by a strong desire to lord it over the resources of material world and become imitation lords of all the survey. The Pandavas were just there to assist in the Lord's mission, and such devoted souls are not supposed to get entangled in any other events of material world, protection, maintenance of others, etc., other than part of Lord's mission. Pandavas are also playing their roles in the hands of the Lord. So Lord has set a plan. Through Arjuna, he killed so many people. Through Bhima, he killed all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. So through some of his devotees, he is accomplishing so many tasks. He allowed Bhima to kill Jarasandha. He defeated Jarasandha 17 times. But who killed? Jarasandha killed. Bhima killed Jarasandha. So Bhima's killing of Jarasandha is more popular than Krishna's defeating Jarasandha multiple times. Morning we were discussing, right? Krishna gives more credit to his devotees than he takes for himself. So now he is waiting for the annihilation of his own dynasty called Yaduvamsha who appeared by his will in this world. He wanted to take them away before his own departure to his eternal abode. Okay. Now 51st verse. So philosophically, Narada Muni established that these feelings of separation on a material plane are only because of illusion. So don't feel like that. And don't think that you are the maintainer of someone or something like that. You just focus on the Lord's mission and wait here as long as the Lord, Lord manifests his pastimes. Now he will give the future movements of his uncles and aunt to pacify Yudhishthir Maharaj. Dhritarashtra saha bharta. Sahabhratra, correct. Gandharya cha swabharyaya. Dakshinena himavatam. Rishinam ashramam gataha. Okay. So Gandhari, Dhritarashtra, they have gone to the Himalayas. Saptashrota is a place where waters of sacred Ganges were divided into seven branches for the satisfaction of seven sages. So they went to that area. Next, 52. That's what I read, 52. The place called Saptashrota because waters were divided. Next, 53. Snatvanusavanam tasmin kutvachagninyathavidhi abhaksha upashantatma saaste vigataishanah.
In the morning, noon and evening, by performing the Agnimutra sacrifice with fire and by drinking only water, this helps one control the mind and the senses and frees one completely from thoughts of family affection.
So 53 to 56 verses describe Dhritarashtra's Ashtanga Yoga. First three lines of this verse are describing his Niyamas. Last line is Yama. Sa aste vigataishanaha. So, by material association and education, we learn simply to concentrate on flimsy things. But yoga is the process of forgetting them altogether. Material existence means to be absorbed in material objective, which is simply illusory. But by yoga, one will come out of that. Okay, forget them all of them together. 54th. Jitasano jitasvasaham pratyahritasadindriyaham Haribhavanaya dhastam rajaha sattvatamo malaha jitasano jitasvasaha pratyahara shadindriyaha. What does it mean? Asana, pranayama, pratyahara. Yama name are over. Next, asana, pranayama, pratyahara. Next, hari bhavanaya dhasta, that is dharana. Rajaha sattvatamo malaha. So these two are dharana and dhyana stages. Focusing on the Supreme Lord, that is dharana and dhyana. Dharana is basically focusing on the entire form of the Lord. Dhyana means meditating on individual limbs, going into finer details. That is dhyana. Dharana, dhyana, both are meditating on the Lord only. But one is a bird's eye view, overview meditation. Second is detailed meditation. Getting right? Next. So that is described in the second two lines. By doing this dhyana and dharana, rajasattva tamomalaha, one will reduce the contamination of three modes. So this establishes the power of bhakti yoga to elevate someone, but beyond the mode of goodness, even beyond the mode of goodness. So even the highest mode, the mode of goodness is also a cause of material bondage. And what to speak of other qualities, namely passion and ignorance. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayaha. Do you remember this verse? Bhagavad Gita verse. Sattva, in Sattva Guna also there is bondage. Right? Sattra Sattvam Nirmalatvat Prakashaka Manamayaha Sukha Sangena Badhnati Jnana Sangena Chanakha. There is bondage because of Sukha. In mode of goodness you experience happiness. And Jnana, knowledge. Knowledge also can bind you. And happiness also can bind you. Right? If it is based on material mode. The process of turning the senses from material attachment to transcendental loving service of the Lord is called Pratyahara. And the very process is also called Pranayama. So Prabhupada elaborates on this. Anyways, 55th verse. Vijnanatmani samyojyam Kshetragne pravilapyamtam Brahmanyatmanam adhare Ghatambaram ivambare. So Dhritarashtra will amalgamate his gross and subtle elements into Mahatattva. Basically, whenever someone is giving up his body in a yogic manner, this kind of description comes. This will come in Pandava's case also, this will come in Prithu's case also, like that in various cases. Here what's happening is, how does the creation take place? From Pradhana, Mahatattva is generated. From Mahatattva, you haven't yet covered this. In the second canto that will come. Basically, elements start manifesting. The gross elements and subtle elements will manifest. Earth, water, fire, air, ether are gross elements. What are the subtle elements? Subtle senses? Mind intelligence and ego, they are like subtle body, elements of subtle body. It is another set. They are called tanmatras. Taste, basically sense objects. Right? Taste, then touch, smell, sound, form. So, first sound will manifest. From sound, ether will manifest. From ether, form will manifest. Form is the next subtle element. From form, fire will manifest. Fire is the gross element. From fire, whatever. What is the next one? Smell. No. From sound, ether is manifesting. From ether, touch will manifest. From touch, air will manifest. From air comes form. From form comes fire. From fire comes, what is the fifth one? Taste. Fourth one, taste. From taste, water comes. From water, smell comes. From smell, earth comes. Right? So, you just list here, sound, touch, form, taste, smell. And there you list what? Ether, air, fire, water, earth. Then put arrow marks like this. So, I didn't speak this since a long time. So, like that, the subtlest element is sound. The grossest element is earth. Earth has all these five qualities. But water has all qualities except the fragrance. Right? And you go above. Fire has all the qualities except taste and water. Taste and fragrance. So like that, the intermediate gross elements will have the subtle qualities up to that element. Okay? But ether has only sound, one quality. So like that, there are different elements. So just like all these elements manifested from the subtlest sound till earth, when the yogic process of giving up body happens, that will happen in a reverse manner. Right? He amalgamated his earth element into water element into this element, like that, just winding up will happen. That's how the universal destruction also happens. So, Dhritarashtra has amalgamated his gross and subtle elements into Mahatattva. And gross elements will come from subtle elements, and all these are coming from Mahatattva. He just winds up the creation. That's how it is mentioned. So, basically in a yogic way, he has given up his body. That much you understand as of now. All this will become more clearer when we read few future chapters. He did not attain love of Godhead. He did not get the highest thing. But at least some... Yeah, he got elevated situation because two things. Number one, he got the saintly association of Vidura. No doubt about it. Yesterday, Prabhupada was describing that is the power of saintly association. Second, and see, he got the association throughout his life, Vidura's association. But he took the association of Vidura now seriously. That's why there is some serious positive effect. Second, Dhritarashtra is not an ordinary person. Although he is behaving in a little irresponsible manner, becoming a puppet in the hands of his affection for his son, he had undue affection for Duryodhana. He knows, he consciously knows that what I am doing is wrong. That knowledge he has. And he knows very well that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he knows very well that Krishna has descended on this earthly planet to kill miscreants, and my sons are also miscreants. Krishna will cause my sons also to die. This is very well known to Dhritarashtra. But he did not utilize his free will effectively to rectify the mentality of his son, but he just gave in to his weak-heartedness of supporting his son's nefarious activities. Right, that was the mistake he has done. But certainly he has knowledge, and he's not an ordinary personality. He offers a very wonderful devotional prayer in 10th canto, 47th or 48th or 49th chapters. Right. Akrura goes to Dhritarashtra to tell him, you are not behaving properly. As a king, you are supposed to treat all the citizens equally, and you are not even treating your own nephews equally, like your sons. How will you treat entire kingdom and citizens with equality? You don't exhibit partiality. Like that, he gives good advice. At that time, Dhritarashtra says, what can be done? It's all destiny. I am just afflicted by my affection towards my son. I am unable to do anything. I understand that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He has descended to annihilate all these miscreants. But still, right? He did not make a conscious choice, conscious right choice. Right? He became weak-hearted, or he just gave in to that weakness of heart because of his affection for his son, unnecessary affection for his son. So, and at the end of his life, although he led the whole life like that, at the end of his life, Vidura enlightened him and he is able to take it. Certainly, he is not like a great pure devotee like Yudhishthira Maharaj, but he is not a very ordinary soul also. He is not as degraded as Duryodhana. He was elevated to engage in the loving service by the grace of Vidura and the Lord. Lord's mercy was bestowed upon his personal contact with Vidura. So, next, Dhritarashtra has neither, because he has destroyed the results of gunas of Maya. Okay, next, 26 verse. Dhastamaya gunodarkom. Niruddha-karanashayaham Nivartita-khilaharam Aste-sthanur-ivachalaham Tasyantarayo-maivabhuho
sanyasyaktakhila karmanah sanyasyaktakhila karmanah.
He will have to suspend all the actions of the senses even from the outside and will have to be impervious to interactions of the senses which are influenced by the modes of material nature. After renouncing all material duties, he must become immovably established beyond all sources of hindrances on the path.
Do not now he may say, Yudhishthira Maharaj may say that I will go and get Dhritarashtra back. Oh, now that you told me where is he? He is in Himalayas or doing Ashtanga Yoga. I will bring him back. Maybe he can do Ashtanga Yoga in our palace also. Whatever it may be. He is inclined to bring back. He says, no, you should not bring him back. He is now beyond the attraction of anything material. He is on the platform of Nirguna. So don't bring him back. So Prabhupada says, effects of modes draw the victim to indefatigable desires of enjoying matter, but one can escape such false enjoyment by the yogic process. So bhakti is Nirguna. Now, 57th verse. Like Narada Muni indicated that he will give up his body like that in a yogic manner. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj may say, I will bring him back, bring his dead body here and perform funeral rites. Right? As a son has to perform funeral rites at father, I will do like that. Say, no, you don't have to do any funeral rites also. 57th verse.
Sava adhya adhyatanad rajan parataha panchamehani kalevaram hasyatisvam tachya bhasmi bhavishyati.
He will quit his body most probably on the fifth day from today and his body will turn to ashes. You will not get his dead body also, even if you are inclined to. This body will automatically be burnt. So, not perfection. Not like love of Godhead, but some yogic perfection, something like that. He will get a better opportunity to cultivate devotional service in a better way. So, what exactly is his destination? Let's see. Not sure. Yudhishthira Maharaj may try to bring him back. Do not become an obstacle in his path, antaraya. So, he will not get his dead body also. Then, Yudhishthira Maharaj says, okay, let me go and get Gandhari at least. Then, 58th translation I will read. While outside observing her husband, who will burn in the fire of mystic power, along with his thatched cottage, his chaste wife will enter the fire with rapt attention. Gandhari's body also will be burnt to ashes. You don't have to get her also. Then, just like she is a chaste wife, she will perform sati. Then, Yudhishthira Maharaj says, I will go and get Vidura back. The next answer. Vidura being affected with delight and grief, will then leave that place of sacred pilgrimage. So he will move out from there and he will go for pilgrimage to mitigate his lamentation. You can't get him also back. So Vidura will be joyful because Dhritarashtra has attained spiritual goal and he will lament as a worldly custom, then he will go to serve holy places. So Dhritarashtra being an offender to devotees attained only liberation and not prema. And Vidura did not give such mercy to him. He only told you become dhira. He did not speak about rasas, of devotional service and all those things were not there. Just he is out of materialistic life and he got liberated. What exactly is that liberation and all? Correct. That kind of liberation from material existence. But there are five kinds of liberation. It could be impersonal liberation also, it could be personal liberation. All these things are not there. One may receive mercy even after committing an offense, but the traces of effects of offense are not that easy to wash away. So, although you receive mercy, still that may not be the highest mercy. Daksha offended Shiva. You know that first time, right? After that, in his next life, he performed austerities and he chanted Amsaguhya prayers. And he apparently got the mercy of the Supreme Lord. He got the darshan of the Supreme Lord. But still, he actually did not get the highest mercy because later he offended Narada Muni also. Right, when Narada Muni converted his Hariyashvas and Savalashvas into renunciants, Daksha offended him, he curses him. So, one offense led to another offense. Although there is mercy in the middle, that's not the highest mercy. Next. An offense at the feet of a Vaishnava is more dangerous than an offense at the lotus feet of the Lord also. So, Vidura was certainly liberal to show mercy upon Dhritarashtra, whose past life was very materialistic. But ultimately, the result of such mercy certainly depended on the will of the Lord. Therefore, Dhritarashtra attained liberation only, and after many such liberated states of life, one can attain to the stage of devotional service. Okay. 60th verse. Having spoken this, the great sage Narada, along with his Veena, ascended into outer space, and Yudhishthira Maharaj kept his instruction in his heart and so was able to get rid of all lamentation. So, basically Narada Muni said, they will have certain destination depending on what they deserve, and you focus on your destination. Don't try to disturb them or distract them from what they are supposed to experience. You focus on your activities. So like that, Narada Muni pacified Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, someone at that stature, of that caliber, he is also bewildered sometimes, and when by the will of the Lord or whatever, he cannot put his bewilderment in the category of the bewilderment of any other ordinary conditioned soul. But however, he also needed counseling. He also needed the intervention of Bhishma in the 9th chapter and Yudhishthira and Narada Muni in the 13th chapter. So however exalted one may be, he needs guidance of a more exalted person. We can never say that I am beyond the need for any help or assistance or counseling from some other more mature Vaishnava. Only Krishna can say that. Okay, next chapter. Begin.